Welcome to the Foolish Adventure Show, where guru hype is banned, lifetime value of a customer is king, and the internet business has replaced the J-O-B as the path to financial success and personal freedom. Now, here's straight talk about making a living online with your host, Tim Conley.
Welcome to another episode of the Foolish Adventure Show. I'm your host, Tim Conley, and I've got a special guest here, another one of my good friends, mastermind members. So my friend here, Mr. Ed Stapleton Jr., we're going to talk about some direct mail stuff. We're going to talk about direct response marketing and how this affects an online business, because a lot of people online really need to be doing some offline stuff. They really need to be treating their online business as a business and get rid of this artificial distinction between offline and online. We are in business. That's what we do. So, Ed, what's up?
What's up, Tim? Very glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm super glad to have you on here. We've been talking a lot lately, doing a lot of chatting. We've got some common experiences from my old days of studying direct response and doing direct mail and doing all kinds of direct response marketing from magazines and all that, to being online. And so you're going through these same experiences and using direct mail in the businesses that you're involved in. So I'm pretty excited to talk about that.
I love direct mail. Let's get into it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be kind of a nerd in this one. So I'm going to try to not geek out as we talk too much and just try to be as informative as we possibly can.
Sounds good.
So how about you give everybody a workable definition of what direct response is and what direct mail is?
All right, Tim. So direct response marketing is actually asking for an action in your advertising, whether it's collecting leads or actually getting new clients. That's the bottom line.
All right. And so then how is that reflected with direct mail then?
Well, I use direct mail for several different purposes, one being lead generation. So I might send out a postcard offering a free CD and report, or I might be sending out a postcard with a 20% off discount or something along the lines going straight to a sale. So I prefer actually direct mail for lead generation. I think it's really cost effective and a great way to get people into your sales funnel.
Yeah, excellent. The one thing with direct mail, because a lot of people hate it, they just call it junk mail, right? I get junk mail. They don't call it, hey, I got some direct mail today, a direct response advertising, because most of the stuff we get in our mailbox actually sucks. It's stuff that you don't want to see. That's why we call it junk mail. In the online world, we call it spam. We see these commercial messages and they have no real relevance to us. They don't speak to the things that we desire or the problems that we have. They just come in and we look at it and we just throw it in the trash. So how do we not be junk mailers?
Well, I think it was Gary Halbert that said that you need to enter a conversation that's already going on in your client's mind. So,
Robert Collier.
Sorry about that. So,
it's nerd talk.
Yeah. FYI, if you don't have the Robert Collier book, you're missing out. If you do any sort of copywriting, I would strongly suggest getting that book. It's excellent. So Robert Collier said you need to enter the conversation that's already happening in your client's mind. So with direct mail, it's really important to focus in on who you're trying to reach. So it all comes down to your list. It all comes down to your target market that you're trying to reach and making them an offer that's relevant to them, that's time sensitive, that really matters to them at that particular time. You know, anything else is really just an interruption and a waste of time and money.
Exactly. And it's very hard to do. So it comes down to really targeting, like finding the people who are the most interested in what it is that you have to offer. You've got to find that, as Dan Kennedy calls it, the message to market match.
Exactly.
You've got to have the right message for the right people, and then also deliver it through the appropriate medium. And a lot of people in the online world, they're just focused on one medium. the internet, which actually isn't one medium. It is actually a delivery system for all sorts of media, like audio, video, text, email, all sorts, chat, Skype, you know, all these different things. It's the internet is not one monolithic medium. It's something that is just a delivery mechanism for all sorts of types of ways of communicating. But people are treating it without that type of targeting, without finding the right message and the right market and using the appropriate medium to communicate with them.
So if you think of the internet as a bicycle wheel, each spoke being a different method of delivery. Uh-huh. Say one spoke's Twitter, one's Facebook, one's email marketing. Each one of those, you have to actually craft your message slightly different because each people interact with each of those mediums slightly different. So one, like you said, like Dan Kennedy always says, you need a message to market match. You need to look at the way people interact with each sections and make it appropriate.
Right, right. And some of that becomes in the fact like certain media have limited ways of interacting, like Twitter, 140 characters, that's all you got. So you have to treat everything, any kind of marketing message on there like a headline, or even better, like a short conversation starter. And then here's the link to go get more information on it. Facebook, we're seeing that people are more interested in basically being entertained on Facebook. So you have to have something that draws them out to take some form of action, whether that's a like or something to get them engaged. So it requires more engagement to get a return on your investment. And then you have a variety of media out there. Email, still the best form of actually building a business online, is actually doing direct response in an email. So with email, the great part about it is that you use it for this direct response. You don't actually sell inside the email. It seldom converts if you try to actually get people to click a buy button inside of an email. So it goes back to an old direct marketing tactic called two-step marketing, or two-step advertising, which is the first step is you get their attention. And now take this action, which in the case of email is click this link. And then that takes them to a sales page where they can get more information. They can get into the story of what is for sale and buy there. That's the best method so far that's been developed for email marketing.
Yeah, and if you need any proof of this, look at the 2012 presidential campaign and Obama's email marketing campaigns. He raised something like $680 million through email marketing. Simple conversational subject lines and calls to action within really friendly emails. Conversational, almost non-presidential like. Real good copy, driving people to a link and putting them onto a sales page, or otherwise known as a donation page, which at the end of the day is a sales page. He got people to take an action, put them through to a link, and then made money through email.
Yeah. There's a lot of places that are using email very well that we don't think of, like political campaigns. They're doing a great job of tapping into the power of the internet. So we've been talking about the internet for a bit here, but let's get back to the offline side of this. How are we going to actually use direct mail in an online business?
Well, the first thing to think about is what you're looking to use it for, whether you're looking for lead generation to help build up your list of leads in your email database, or if you're looking to market to already existing clients. It really depends, and it also depends on what your profit margin is on whatever you're sending, as well as your client lifetime value. So client lifetime value is how much a client's going to spend with you over the lifetime of their relationship. So if you have an upfront product, what back end do you offer them to increase that lifetime value? So once you kind of figure out what you want to use it for, that helps determine how you can move forward with it.
Right. Okay, so let's go a little further in using direct mail. So what are the steps we need to take to go from sending out a piece of mail to getting someone to buy from us, whether that's online or offline? What's this actual process?
Well, why don't you give me an example? Give me an example to work off of, and I'll build out a kind of a sample case study to kind of help really crystallize it in people's minds.
Okay. Let's take our friends Dan and Ian of the Lifestyle Business Podcast, and they're a portable bar company. Okay, so they've got a place to sell online. So how do they actually get people from a direct mail piece to actually selling one of their portable bars on their website?
So portable bar, I would do two things. I would send out postcards and or sequential direct mail sales letters offering some sort of free report or free CD or DVD on how to use a portable bar in your business. I'd target catering companies, catering halls, banquets, hotels, things along those lines. That's one avenue, kind of reaching out into the market. I'd also put up a lead capture form looking for full contact information, sending out basically the exact same thing. So you could drive social traffic to it. You could drive PPC and other types of ads to basically offering a free CD and report or a DVD or some sort of information package, and really do educational-based marketing. Like I believe last episode, you and Johan talked about education-based marketing.
Right.
A DVD explaining how the product works, why it's sufficient, you know, the different profit centers you can add by adding a portable bar, things along those lines. Anything education-based works really well with direct mail.
Right, right. And so I really want people to get this, because a lot of people, when they're thinking, well, when I'm doing a campaign, I'm going to give them an ebook or something like that. They're going to give something digital. You need to test that. You need to test to find out whether a digital way of communicating with a lead will be sufficient to turn into a customer. But what you probably are going to end up doing in some industries, especially something where the ticket price is really high for a portable bar compared to, I don't know, selling a pair of jeans or something. You know, they're not there's such a big price difference that you can use different tactics. Where the portable bar being a higher ticket item, getting a physical something into their hands, whether it be a DVD, whether it be a book, a catalog or something, a report that they can hold in their hand, case studies on how, say, if you're targeting, say, a caterer, well, give them a book of case studies on how caterers can actually use this portable bar in their business. And that way they're able to use it concretely, get educated on why they should be buying it. And then inside that, you're going to be able to talk about the things like construction quality, the ability to add additional options to the bar so that you can do it for special events, you know, lighting, music, all sorts of things that you could do with these by these other options and features that you could add to this high quality product. You can build all that information into something that gets in their hands. And the reason I think it's important that they get it in their hands is that it's more tangible. They can start processing it better, and it's less likely that it's just going to disappear on their hard drive.
Couldn't agree more. It's going to sit on their desk. It's something tangible. And let me point out one other thing. The power of education-based marketing, specifically with physical reports and CDs and DVDs and things like that, you can really leverage the power of implying things as opposed to explicitly saying things. So in the education process, you're basically implying that you do everything, you're educating your client to do right, because why else would you be giving them that information? It's not like you're going to give them that information and then not provide that level of quality. So without having to say it explicitly, you're implying a lot of the benefits of doing business with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. And also in the quality of the product that you send, the marketing piece that you send. So if you send something that's clearly been made on your photocopier, like you copied something and you folded it over and then mailed that to them, that's going to get across an idea of the quality of your company compared to, say, if it's a high ticket item, you might want to have a four color book printed.
Tim, let me give you an example. For my consulting business, I send out a free 30-page how to double your business or how to double your profits in 90 days or less. And it's an 8.5 by 11 folded over. So basically it's one sheet of computer paper folded over, but it's with a thick cardstock. I have it professionally printed, really, really nice graphics. It's a beautiful piece of collateral. It cost me $1.50 to produce when you use the right printer. You can't just go to Kinko's and get these done right. You gotta go to a printer that specializes in information marketing, that knows how to put out quality products at a low cost. So I put that cost me $1.50, but the perceived value is through the roof. No one else is giving physical products like this. I also, in my follow-up sequence, I give a CD of the benefits of working with me and how to increase profitability and a couple other things. But that CD cost me, I think, $1.25, and the perceived value is priceless because it helps me close more deals. Right. So I use direct mail and physical pieces all throughout my sales funnel. So don't just think just lead generation. It could be used really anywhere in the process, and it should be.
Right, right. One thing that you said a little earlier was a sequential mailing. Okay, so let's actually define that. Let's tell people what that means.
So this concept was really first developed or made popular in the marketing world by Dan Kennedy, who at the time was being was in bankruptcy. And if you guys don't know Dan Kennedy, check out dankennedy.com. He's the godfather of direct response, magnetic style marketing. Well, Dan Kennedy was in bankruptcy, and all the collection companies kept sending him notices that he owed money and that he was going to get sued. And he noticed that that mail was coming in groups of three. So he'd get the first notice, and then 7 to 10 days later, he'd get a second notice, and it'd be stamped in big red, angry looking thing with second notice. And then a week or 10 days later, he'd get a last letter with a final notice stamped on it. And people that don't have money were still paying these collection companies. So people that were bankrupt still were able to somehow scrape by enough money to pay some of their debt. So he realized the power of putting things in sequence and implemented that into his businesses. So really, it's a matter of staying in front of people for a period of time. So my sequence direct mail usually goes about a month long, and I send out three to four letters, and each letter references the past letter. It also references an impending deadline that the offer, like for example, I give away a free report. Everything references the free report and that the deadline is coming up. December 21st is the last day you're going to be able to get this report. Everyone else is paying for it. I'm offering you for free. And basically just that's how sequential mail works.
Right, right. I've used it in my swimming pool company when I had that. We would send out, I started off with just three. I sent out the first letter. Then I sent the second letter, and I followed like the Dan Kennedy method, which was don't change anything other than to say second notice on it. So I did, and that would pull more customers. And then I would send out the third one to the people who did not respond, always removing the people who responded to the previous letter. And then I would send out the third one, and it would say third response or last notice or something. And then that one, usually I would have slightly different wording on the first paragraph or so. And then it would go back into essentially being the exact same sales letter as before that I had already sent out. So I wasn't even needing to do a ton of extra work.
It really isn't. I mean, it's as simple as putting a rubber stamp graphic saying second notice and then final notice and then perhaps changing the headline. That's really it. I mean, right. You could literally send the exact same messages and just change the deadline. That's it.
And I found that on certain types of mailings that I was doing that I could get to, I think it was the fifth letter that my response dropped off enough that I didn't feel it would be worth even testing a sixth letter. So I went to five letters before I ended up getting out of that business. I also tested using postcards, where I would have postcards that would drive people to a website where the website would do all the selling, as opposed as so the postcards just to get their attention. And then they go to the website, and the website would essentially do the job of those sales letters. So I've tested all sorts of forms of direct mail, and that was just in one of my businesses. Doing it with my clients is fantastic too, because taking people offline and putting them online, where you get the efficiency of the sales process. You could still do it to a phone number, and phone numbers still work great, but you can actually drive people offline to your site and close them there.
Absolutely, yeah. In an information product business I had, I drove people using a free CD and report to a landing page, capture their contact information using a sequenced opt-in form. So the first page asked for just the name and email. The thank you page was actually a second opt-in page where I asked for full mailing details. And from there, I captured full detail, and then I put them into an integrated follow-up response, a follow-up campaign that sent out emails as well as direct mail pieces, so that they were getting some emails with links to video. They were getting different sales letters from me. When you drive people to a website, the power and the ability is really limited by your imagination. You can really add anything you want into the follow-up sequence.
Yeah. So one of the things you brought up there was full contact information. And I know there's some people listening to this who are just online people only. And they're like, there is no way I would ever give all my contact information. And for my own business, I can barely get people to put an email address into a thing. Why would somebody give you all their contact information?
Well, the one thing I'd say then is that they're not my ideal client. People that give me their full contact information are very interested. They're all hot and bothered, and they want what you have to offer. They're aggressively raising their hands and saying, "Yes, I'm interested. Give me what you have." It helps you to further tighten your lead pool. And with that information, you can more aggressively market to those people. So maybe direct mail isn't good for your entire list, but maybe for a highly segmented section of your list, direct mail is perfect.
Right, right. My mentor, Joe Polish, calls that sift, sorting, and screening.
Exactly.
So the hottest lead possible, as I like to call the Glengarry leads, the hottest leads possible, come in are the ones who are going to give you a ton of contact information, because essentially they have realized that you just might have the solution to a huge problem in their life right now, and they want it solved. So they're going to be willing to do that. Another reason that maybe even someone who's not all that hot and bothered to buy right now may give you all that contact information is to get something delivered to them. So remember, we've talked about sending in a report, sending a book, sending a DVD. Well, they can't get that if they don't at least give you their mailing address.
One thing James Schramko always talks about is a lead scoring. Someone that gives you their full contact information is a better quality lead. They're more qualified. They're hungrier for what you have to offer. So maybe it's not right for everybody, but the people, just keep in mind, the people that do give you their full contact information are of higher quality.
Right. They definitely are higher quality and closer to buying. They're in from like a 1 to 10, they're more like an 8, 9, or a 10. They are very close to wanting to buy from you. And they just need to be pushed over the edge just a bit more compared to someone who just hands you their email address. Or even worse, somebody who just shows up and reads one of your blog posts. Those people tend to be very far away from actually buying from you.
Exactly. And to take it one step further, someone that's willing to pay to take their credit card out of their wallet and pay for shipping and handling for that product, that free product that you're offering, that free value you're going to give them, someone that's willing to pay for that, the shipping and handling, is exponentially more qualified. So there are many different levels there are many different ways you can score a lead, and that's another option.
Okay. Okay. We've gone on a bit now, and there's just like so much to actually talk about this. There's ways of getting targeted people to mail to, you know, using the SRDS. There's a bunch of different things that we could be talking about, especially related to lists and things like that. But so let's take turns giving our listeners something specific that they can do. Like, here's the steps to take to actually do some lead generation or to get a sale. So, like, take them from do this, this, and this. That sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, so I'll jump in here and go first. So let's talk about a system that you could do. You've acquired a list, and we're not unfortunately not going to go into how you're going to acquire lists in this particular episode, but you're going to acquire a list of people who have bought similar products to the things that you have to sell. And what you're going to do is create a postcard, and you say you need to really get their attention. It's not going to be the little tiny postcard that you get from like some gift shop in Hawaii to send back, say, wish you were here kind of thing. No, you're going to get, say, a 5x7 or maybe even a 5x9 postcard. One side's going to be, and possibly both sides, are going to be full color, glossy, and you're going to have your sales message on there. And it's all to get their attention and to drive them from that postcard over to a lead generation page. They're going to land on that page, which is going to convince them that the next stage in this selling process is to get them to put in their contact information. So what we're going to do is we're going to ship them a DVD course. It's going to be, say, 3 DVDs in a package, and all they have to do is pay the shipping and handling of $6.95 to get this DVD course on whatever your topic is. It's going to show them how to do something in their business, in their life, and they want this. You've explained why it's going to be great for them, and now what you've accomplished is they put in their information, they bring out their credit card, they pay for that. And you send them these DVDs. And from that, now you actually have them in, you actually have real buyers, people who paid you money for something in your sales funnel that you can start following up with immediately. You can call them on the phone. Say, hey, just checking to see if you've had a chance to go, check out the course. And if you had any questions, then you can sell them on your product, especially if you got a higher ticket item that you're selling. A phone sales is going to be perfect for that. Or you just send them email, a follow-up email. Send them a mail, actual physical mail out to them and follow up with them to get them to the next buying stage. So say you have you provide a service. You're a website designer, so that you've sent out, they've gotten the DVDs. Now it's time to close them and move them up to buying a website design from you. And so those are the stages of it. You send out the postcard, you get them to give you contact information, send them some kind of report, and then do different forms of follow-up afterwards, email, direct mail, and phone calls to get them to actually buy your web design service.
Exactly. And one thing to add there is maybe not sell them directly on the phone. Maybe you put them into a free consultation, make them a second offer along the way, put them into a free 60-minute consultation where you basically tear apart their website and dig deep and find out, you know, how they stack up to the competition. Again, like you said, someone's reached into their pocket. They've given you their credit card. They're highly qualified. They're hungry for what you have to offer. So basically, you want to go at them with every possible medium. You want to use direct mail. You want to use video. You want to use in the direct mail, you could use sequenced letters using, like I said earlier, a deadline, say a deadline for a free consultation. Anything like that would work very well.
Yeah. And so they don't actually have to pay for something. Okay. In this lead generation process, you don't actually have to get them to give you all their contact information. You don't necessarily have to get them to pay for something.
No, absolutely not. I'm footing the bill on all my lead generation at this point right now because I know how much more qualified of a lead they are once I have their full contact information. I can really start to aggressively market to them using many different methods once I have all of their contact information, once I know who they are and really what they're looking for. So I will pay that all day long. I've got no problem spending the money up front to acquire really quality leads.
Yes. Yeah. And to be able to know that, what you can continue to spend would get into being able to talk about profit. We need to know profit margins. We need to know lifetime value of a customer, things like that. I think that's going to have to be in a future episode too, because there's just literally so much to talk about in these things. But I think that's a good little piece of usable information that the listeners can take off with right now and start implementing in their business.
I 100% agree. One other thing that's irked me a little bit in the ebook world, the digital marketplace, is that that no one's using direct mail. One little thing, if I can impart one thing that you guys actually take and use, send a handwritten thank you note. For a digital purchase, it'll take you 30 seconds to do, or you could hire a stay-at-home mom or someone part-time, or even do it on a contractual basis. Just say thank you for it, and you'd be surprised with the results.
Yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that myself, not taking things offline. And part of that was because in first creating Foolish, leaving out through the purchase process, getting their actual mailing address. And so I'm guilty of this. A lot of online businesses are very guilty of this because, well, it's digital. I don't actually need their mailing address, right? That's the thing. That's what we're thinking. But
right.
You can do so much more and you can connect so much deeper. Social media is not a deep connection. But a thank you note, a handwritten thank you note sent in the mail, now that's a deep connection.
Absolutely. And once you have that contact information, you can start making them offers in direct mail and email and everything else moving forward to increase that client lifetime value. So if it's just an ebook for $37, don't think of it as just an ebook for $37. Think about it as a long-term business where you say thank you for the purchase. You keep in contact with maybe a physical newsletter or an email newsletter, and periodically you can send them direct mail, making them offers to other products, maybe a higher packaged course that you've created. Think about going deep with your business. Don't just think as a single product business. Think long-term, think real business. Don't think short-term.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Ed, thanks for coming on and giving us this introduction to direct mail, direct response for an online business. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I can bring you back on the show more often because I get the benefit of being able to talk to you on the mastermind call every week. And I would love for my listeners to be able to get more and more information from a guy who's making money from direct mail in his online business.
Sure. I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you, the listener, I hope you got a ton of great information out of this that you can implement in your business. And please do implement in your business. And until the next time,
enjoy your foolish adventure.
You've just listened to the Foolish Adventure Show with Tim Conley. To get more straight talk about making money online and building a successful internet business, go to foolishadventure.com. There, you can opt into the Freedom File newsletter. You'll also get access to the Foolish Guide to Launching Products video training module, over an hour and 20 minutes of business building knowledge that can generate tens of thousands of dollars for your new product. Enjoy your Foolish Adventure.